Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Windham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. We hope all of you are doing well today. I tell you, we finally got a little spell of some dry weather. It seems like every week we've had a storm on Wednesday for the last month, but God spared us this Wednesday. So we hope all of you had a great Easter last week. I know we did. We had a great time. We had a big crowd in our early service and a good crowd in our second service, but Lord bless us with a great day, and I hope you had a great time with your family and your friends as we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. So it's good to be with you again today. This morning we're going to continue our look into that resurrection and thinking about that. We're going to look in Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 9 and reading through verse 16. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 9, and we'll read through verse 16. And we're going to be thinking about this morning, just won't believe. They just won't believe. You know, this morning as we think about how many times we witness to people, how many times we share the gospel with people, and so many times we see people who just won't believe. No matter what you do, no matter how you try to share the gospel to them, no matter how much proof you can give to them through the Bible, through God's word. You know, I tell people all the time, though, when you're witnessing the people, if they don't believe the Bible, it puts you at a disadvantage. They have to believe in the Bible, but if they don't believe in the Bible, then all you can do is tell them your personal testimony and what Jesus means to you and what Jesus did for you. And that's the best thing you can do if somebody won't believe the Bible. Just tell them how Jesus spoke to your heart. That's what the early church did. That's what Paul did and others did. You know, Paul said, I preach what? Jesus and him crucified. And you know, he just told people about what Jesus meant to him and his road to Damascus. But, you know, so many times we just see people who just won't believe. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, they just won't believe. And you know, we kind of feel bad against them people. We say, man, I just can't believe you can't believe this. We see so many people believing so many different things in the world and so many wrong things in the world. We see people believing and just false gods and false things and everything that we see going on in the world today. We wonder, how could you believe that? How could you believe in such a story such as that? How can you believe in evolution, you know, to think that everything just boom and everything just happened? And we ask ourselves, how do people believe that and yet won't believe the Bible? But, you know, people have not changed any. From that first resurrection day till today, people have not changed any. Unbelief is a big problem in our world today. People just don't believe in Jesus. So let's pray, and then we'll get into our scripture as we think about they just won't believe. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for opportunity once again to come and to share this word on this air raid, Lord. We thank you for our radio station and allowing us the freedom and the liberty, Lord, to preach your word in the way, Lord, that you lay up on our hearts. So once again this morning, we want to be found faithful to you and faithful to your word. So, Lord, I pray that you'll speak through me, that, Lord, that you'll cleanse me of any sin, unrighteousness, Lord, that may hinder me from proclaiming your word, that, Lord, it always be your words, that you'll always get the honor and the glory for it, that we'll always lift Jesus up as that only way to salvation, the only name in heaven and earth by which we must be saved. Then, Lord, I pray that Satan will be bound this morning and not steal from us what you have for us. We pray for the people as they're listening. Some may be traveling in their cars, Lord, going from one place to the other. Give them safe travel. Some may be homesick this morning, may be shut in, not able to get up and make it to their church, or hindered in some way. So we pray for their health. We pray, Lord, that they'll soon be restored, that they can be back in their church. Lord, use this as your time now as we give you the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' precious and holy name and living name, we do pray. Amen. This morning as we read then in Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 9, this is Mark's account. As we shared with you last week, as you remember, we talked about how that all the Gospels have an account of the resurrection story. You know, that's one of those stories that they all tell. And some of the stories, we see that some of the Gospels didn't tell all of it, but we see this is one that they all have the account. And in Mark's account, we begin in verse 9, it says, "Now when Jesus was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared into another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And as they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You know, this morning as we read this story, like I said, as we continue with that story of the Easter story, we see Mark's account of it as Mary Magdalene goes and she sees Jesus. And as she goes to the disciples and she tells them what they don't believe. The men from the road to Emmaus, they come, they don't believe. They even see Jesus with their own eyes and they don't believe. Isn't this amazing? How this unbelief, how that people just won't believe. They just won't believe. And so I think, you know, as we look at what takes place in this beginning of the church, and we look at how unbelief was a big problem, then why should we be surprised today when so many people just won't believe? So this morning, do you just not believe? Do you really believe in the resurrected Savior? You know, we asked that question last week. When we come to celebrate on Easter, and we have houses full on Easter. I've been talking to a lot of my buddies and preacher friends, you know, who have told me how many people they had on Sunday and how many people show up just at Easter time. And, you know, when we just show up just at that Easter time, do we really believe, or are we just coming because it's a time that, well, we got a new dress, or we got a new suit, or a new set of clothes, or because that's when all the family comes together and mama begs us to come and go to church with her on that Easter Sunday? Well, I'm not going to miss that. I'll be there, mama, for Easter Sunday. You know, do we really believe that Jesus is alive and well? Well, let's go back and look at this. Let's look how that, first of all, they believe not Mary Magdalene. Second thing, we're going to see how they believe not the two men on the road. Thirdly, we're going to see that neither did they believe Jesus himself. Fourthly, we're going to see how that Jesus scolds the disciples because of their unbelief. And then we'll see the importance of why it is so important. Why is it so important that you believe in the resurrecting Lord? Why is it so important? So let's go and look at these things this morning, these five things. The first is, they believe not Mary Magdalene. Now that we just read from the Bible that it says that Mary Magdalene was there, that Jesus appears unto her on this first day of the week. She was the first one that Jesus appears unto. He had cast out seven devils out of her. We know the love that she had for him because of how he had forgiven her of her sins and helped her. And then in verse 10, what did it say? And she went and told them that she had been with him as they mourned and as they wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, what did it say? They believed not. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? That when she goes to see them, now here they are. Think about it now. The disciples are there. They are mourning. They're weeping the death of their Savior. Mary Magdalene comes and brings them the wonderful news. Comes and tells them, look, I've been with them. I've been with him. And he is alive. He is well. I talked with him. He's there. I know it's Jesus. And what does it say? And they what? Believed not. They did not believe this eyewitness that, hey, Jesus is alive and well. And they would not believe her. Matter of fact, if you go to Luke's account, in Luke chapter 24, verse 11, it says that when she goes and she tells the disciples, it doesn't say that they just believe not, but listen to what it says, that they see, that she seemed to them as what? As one that was telling idle tales, and they believed not. They thought this was an idle tale. Now, why in the world would Mary Magdalene have a reason to tell such a story? why in the world would Mary Magdalene have any inclination to make up a story like that her Lord and Savior was alive and well? They had seen the change in Mary Magdalene. They had seen Jesus cast out these demons. They had seen her love for him. They'd seen all the things and changes that had taken place in her life. And so when she comes and she tells them, look, I have been with him. I have seen the resurrected Savior. They said, Mary, you just telling us a fib. You just telling us some kind of isle of tale. You just trying to make up something this morning. You just trying to make up something. Maybe you're trying to make us feel better. Maybe that's what you're doing. You're just trying to make us feel better. See, that'd be like some of these feel-good preachers that we have. You know, it's all the time trying to just make people feel better. You know, people need to feel better about themselves. And it's how you feel about yourself. Well, listen, my Bible tells me you got to be broken. And you got to come to that time of repentance. And you got to come to that time that you know that you're a sinner to ever have salvation. Here we see they were mourning, they were weeping the death of their Lord and Savior. Mary Magdalene brings them the good news that he is alive and well. And they say, you're just making that up. That's just an idle tale. That really not so. And they would not believe her. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that they did not believe? Even though all that they had seen Jesus do, all the teachings that he had given them, he had given them every kind of hint that you can talk about, brothers and sisters. He had told them just exactly what was going to happen, but their eyes and their ears, they seen and they didn't really see, they didn't hear, they didn't understand. Their understanding had not been opened yet, and yet they do not believe. So why are we so surprised today when we try to tell people about Jesus? They think it's just an idle tale. They think it's untrue. How could such a person as Jesus love me, such a sinner? How could such a person as Jesus, the Son of God, why would he leave the splendor of heaven to come and to take my place on the cross? You know, the Bible says that it is what? It's just foolishness to me, and in it. When they hear it's foolishness. It says to the Greek, it is foolishness, and to the Jew, it is what? To the Jew, it's a stumbling block. But to we that believe and are Christian people, it is the power of God and his salvation. Say amen. It's the power of God that brings us to salvation. But they would not believe her. They said it's just an idle tale. Then notice what happens. It goes on down verses 12 and 13. And it says, and then he appeared into another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And as they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Now, understand this. This is the story. We talked about it last week of the two men on the road to Emmaus. In Luke 24, 34 and 35, we know that they go back and they've had this encounter with Jesus, and they go back and they tell the disciples what? That he is risen indeed. So you remember the story. We covered it last week. How that Jesus went and ate with them and taught with them. How he opened their understanding. And when they did, they turned around and they went back. And as he says here in Mark, they found the residue. They went to those that were gathered together, the disciples, those that were left. And they came and they told him, said, look, he has appeared unto us. He is risen indeed, is what Luke said. In other words, they're convinced. They didn't come back and say, we think this may have been Jesus. They didn't come back and say, we're hoping this might be Jesus. They didn't come and say, well, you know, the odds have it, it's Jesus. No, they came back and they said, he is risen indeed. And notice what it says once again in that verse 13. Neither believed they them. Neither believed they them. They didn't believe this second account. These men on the road to Emmaus. So here you have Mary Magdalene seeing Jesus first that early morning, that resurrection day. She goes and she tells them, hey, I've seen the resurrected Savior. And they said, Mary, that's just an idle tale. We don't believe anything you got to say. We don't believe that. And they wouldn't believe her. Then these two men from Emmaus, they come back. They find the residue, the disciples there. They go in and they tell them the whole story about how that they have seen Jesus and how that they know that Jesus is alive and well, that he is risen indeed. And notice what it says, they believed them then neither. Neither believed them. And so here we have two accounts and the disciples still don't believe it. No wonder we have so many people today who just won't believe. No wonder we see so many people who still don't believe in the resurrected Savior. Well, let's look what happens. We go a little bit further. We go a little bit further down, and we see that Jesus does what? In verse 37, we see that Jesus appears unto them, that there he is in verse 37. So we have them, they won't believe Mary Magdalene. They don't believe the two men on the road to Emmaus. And so we come to the third account that they have with the resurrected Savior, the third witness. And who is it? Neither would they believe Jesus himself. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean? They wouldn't believe Jesus himself. We see in verse 37 that when Jesus appears unto them, Luke 24, verse 37, while they're there, the men from Emmaus are there with him, they're talking about it, they've told him the story, they won't believe the men to Emmaus, and so what happens? We see that Jesus appears to them, and in verse 37 it says, they were afraid, and they supposed they saw a spirit. Did you hear that? They supposed they saw a spirit. In other words, brothers and sisters, they thought they saw a ghost. That's just what it is. They thought they saw a ghost. They said, man, we've seen a ghost. You know, this is a ghost. This is not Jesus. In chapter 24 of Luke, verse 41, it says, and while they believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, well, do you have any meat? They thought it was a ghost. So Jesus looks at them and said, hey, how about giving me some meat? Do you have any meat to eat? And we know they probably had some fish. That's usually what they had. And so they give him meat and they see him. But they still don't believe when Jesus appears to them in the flesh. You remember that story of old doubting Thomas as you continue on in that story. And what did old Thomas do? We know that Thomas wasn't there when Jesus first appears to the disciples. And so the disciples now, guess what? Now they're kind of believing. And we'll tell you why in just a minute. But now they're kind of believing. And so they tell Thomas when he comes in, they say, look, Jesus was here. You missed him. And he's alive and he's well. And what did Thomas tell him? He said, man, I don't believe what you're telling me. I don't believe what you're telling me because I'll have to see it. And I'll have to feel the prints and with my own hand, and I'll have to see him to believe. Even he didn't believe. Here we have three witnesses. We have Mary Magdalene, the men on the road to Emmaus. We have the disciples who see the resurrected Savior. They didn't believe him. They thought it was a ghost. And Thomas didn't believe the disciples when they tell him, look, we have seen. Now you remember what Jesus said to Thomas? He said what? Thomas, you know you're blessed because you see and believe. But more blessed are who? Those who have not seen and yet still believe. Those who have not seen and yet still believe. So, see, brothers and sisters, no wonder people are so hard-hearted today. No wonder people cannot believe today. So notice what happens. We have all these accounts. Mary Magdalene, those closest to Jesus, Mary Magdalene says, I've seen him. The disciples believe her not, says just out of words. We have the men on the road to Emmaus who spent time walking with him and talking with him. He goes to their home. They come back and said he's risen indeed. Neither would they believe them. Then Jesus appears to them, and they still don't believe in his resurrection. They think he's a ghost. They're afraid of him. They think he's a spirit. And then Jesus asks for meat to eat and proves himself. But notice what happens after that. Number four is we see Jesus scolds his disciples. Look at number 14, verse 14 with me once again. He says, afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So you see what he's saying here? He says, after all this happened, finally Jesus comes to his disciples and he upbraided them. Now, upbraided means that he scolded them severely. He comes to them and he says to them, he says, what's wrong with you? Why do you not believe? Why are your hearts so hardened? Why does this happen? Why do you not believe? Why are your hearts so hardened that you cannot believe those which have seen me, those which had spoke to me, those that had eaten with me, those that had walked with me, even me myself when I came in, you thought I was a ghost. Why will you just won't believe? He says there's two reasons. Their unbelief and their hardness of heart. That's what he upbraided them about. You know, I wonder today, how many of us really believe? How many of us do we really have that belief in Jesus? Do we really believe in him the way that we should? We have to believe in him. We must know him. We must believe what he has told us. We must have our faith in him. You know, we call it faith. What it really means is that we believe. We believe what he has said to us. We believe that the words that he said were true. You know, they had heard all those words. They really didn't understand it. They thought he was going in to set up an earthly kingdom. He warned them that he was going to die. He told them he'd come forth out of that grave. He'd give them every hint, but they just could not believe it. Why won't we just believe? Can you imagine what it would open up to the Christian if the Christian would just believe in Jesus the way that they ought to be? Do we really believe in the power of the resurrected Savior? Do we really believe in the power of the living Lord? The power that he gives us that we can have through prayer? The power that we have over Satan? We preached about that a couple Sunday nights ago about what Satan don't want you to know. You may hear that next week. But we have all this power that is there if only we would just truly believe in God. That one famous preacher said one time, we have not seen yet what would happen if somebody totally committed their whole life unto the Lord. You know, when you look at Paul and his conversion, when you look back in the Old Testament at Elijah and Elisha and some of these, you look at Daniel and others who gave their lives to God and believed in him and trusted in him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through that fiery furnace. You know, do we have that kind of belief today? Why will we just not believe? If we would just believe, our lives could be better. If we would just believe, then we could see God do so much more in our churches. If we as churches and as Christian people would just get in the mindset that we believe all that God says. Well, I think the problem is our hearts are hardened, just like their hearts were hardened. You know, they were disappointed. They had a disappointing day, had it, last 3 days. You know, they really thought Jesus was, when he rode into Jerusalem upon that donkey, that he was going to set up his kingdom. And now Jesus has been crucified on the cross. He didn't even try to defend himself. He wouldn't let them defend him. Peter cuts off Malchus's ear. Jesus puts it back on, said, put your sword up. You know, he wouldn't defend himself at all. So you can imagine how their hearts were hardened. And they just thought, man, we have lost this battle. We thought we had the Savior, but it wasn't him. And their hearts became hardened. Is your heart hardened? Has the world been beating you up because you don't believe in Jesus? Has the world been beating you up because you lack your belief in Jesus? Is your heart hardened today? You know, Jesus told the Jewish people in Matthew chapter 19, verse 8, he said the only reason Moses gave you a writ of divorcement was because of your hardness of your heart. You know, they kept saying, well, Moses said it was all right to divorce somebody. He said, well, the only reason he did it is because your heart was so hard. You complained and griped so much. Your hearts were so hard. We see in Romans chapter 2, verses 5, it says, But after thy hardness and thy impenitent heart, he says, then you will bring upon you wrath in that time of that righteous judgment before God. In other words, because your hearts are hardened, because your heart is impenitent, that you have not been willing to repent of your sins, that you are bringing upon yourself the wrath of God, that you are going to bring upon you the wrath of God in that day of judgment because of your hardness of your heart, your impenitent heart. You won't believe, you won't repent, you won't change your ways, your unbelief, you don't really believe. Do you believe there's going to be a judgment day? You know, that's the problem, isn't it? Most people don't believe there's going to be a judgment day. Nobody wants to be told they're going to be judged for the wrong they've done. Nobody wants to be told today that they've done wrong. Listen to me. We better start believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We better start believing that there's going to be a judgment day, and we better start repenting. Our hearts better be softened. God says what? He's going to take out of us that hard heart. He's going to put in us a fleshly heart that he can write upon his word, and that his word would be in us and his spirit would be in us. Have your heart gotten so hard God can't do anything with you, brothers and sisters? Have your heart gotten so hard that God can't speak to you because your heart is so hardened? You've allowed it to become so hardened. You know, when your heart gets hard, it affects a lot of other things, doesn't it? And if you're not careful, a hardened heart will kill you. I mean, those vessels get hard and not pliable. They fill up with plaque, and a hardened heart will kill you physically, and it do much more than that spiritually. Is your heart so hard God can't speak to you today? You won't lie because you just don't believe in him. You don't trust in him. Why will you just not believe? Jesus scolded these disciples because of their hardened heart, because they would not believe. Then notice what Jesus tells them as we look at the last. He tells them the importance of that belief. Why it's important to have a heart that God can speak to. Why it's important that we believe in the resurrected Savior. And it said in verse 15 and 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now that's what the King James Version says. Some other versions say condemned, that he would be condemned. So do you hear what he's saying? Here he scolds the disciples because of their unbelief and their hardness of heart. He tells them, why would you not believe the people who have seen me? And then he tells them, I'm sending you, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now listen to me. If you don't believe it, then you ought not be preaching it. If you don't believe it, then you ought not be preaching it. You hear me? I mean, no plainer way to put it. These disciples had to get to recognizing that Jesus was alive and well, that Jesus is going to rule in not their physical life, but in their spiritual life, and that he is Lord of lords and kings of kings, and that he's coming again one day. And he told them, he said, now you go preach that gospel. You go preach it to all the world. There's going to be a lot of people who just won't believe, just like we got today. There's going to be a lot of people who's going to turn their backs upon it. We see King Agrippa said, almost, but he didn't hear it. Felix said what? He didn't have time. It was an inconvenient time for here to hear from Paul and hear the gospel. Paul says, I came all things to all men that I might do what? Save some. He knew not everybody was going to believe. But he says, you go and you preach the gospel, because believing in the resurrected Savior, believing in Christ as our Lord and Savior, is so important. Now, why is it so important? Look what he said in verse 16, for he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Did you hear that? He that believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not is going to be condemned. He's going to be condemned. Do you remember when Jesus was talking to the Nicodemus, the Pharisee, in John chapter 3? And we know that famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, we like to stop right there, don't we? We like to kind of keep that verse at heart because it's such a wonderful verse. But when you keep on reading in verse 17, he says, but the thought that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he says, he that believeth in him, in verse 18, John 3:18 and 19, he that believeth in him is what? Is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because they believed not in the only begotten Son of God. Did you hear that? He that believes is not condemned. But if you don't believe, then you are condemned already. You see the importance of belief? Do you see the importance of not having a hard heart? Do you see the importance of believing in the resurrection Savior? To take Mary Magdalene's word for it, to take the two men on the road to Emmaus' word for it, to take Jesus' word, the disciples' word, to take my word this morning that Jesus is alive and well. Do you believe it? If you believe it, then you will not be damned. You will not be condemned. You'll be saved. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But if you do not believe in him, he says, then you are condemned. For who don't believe in the only begotten Son of God will be condemned. Now, he says in verse 19 in that John chapter 3, this is the condemnation, that what? That light has come into the world, but men love darkness more than light. Is that your problem today? Is it that you love the darkness more than you do the light? Is that your problem today? Is that your heart is so hard, that it is so full of evil, that Satan has such a grip on it, that your heart has become hardened, that you can't really believe? You got to believe, because if you do not believe, then what did it say a while ago? Because of our hardness of our heart and our impenitent heart, because we will not repent, that we're building up what? Wrath. We're laying up wrath against us, the wrath of God, that we're going to be condemned because we have not believed in that only begotten Son of God. So this morning, if you believe and you be baptized, what did he say? You'll be saved. You know, this morning we're going to have baptism in our church. Now, baptism doesn't save you. He said you got to believe and be baptized. Now, why did he say you have to be baptized? Because, see, that's the first obedient act that you have. Jesus says that you got to repent and be baptized. When you're baptized, that's when you're being obedient to him. That's when you say, I believe in him enough that I want to show the world that I'm not ashamed of him, that I want to be a witness to the world. This morning, we're going to do that in our 11 o'clock service. This morning, do you have a belief enough to get you to church today? Do you have belief enough to get you to heaven? Do you have belief enough that could carry you through the baptism of poo? Do you believe? He says, then you're not condemned. But if you don't believe, if you have an impenitent, hardened heart, then you're building up wrath towards you on that day of judgment, that you will be condemned to that devil's hell because you did not believe. Why do you just not believe today? Believe in Jesus. The proof is there. We proved it last week. He's alive and he's well. Accept him as your Savior today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, if there is one lost listening to us this morning, Lord, we pray that they'll come to know you, that they will believe, that their hearts will be softened. You remove their unbelief so that they will not be condemned. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for being alive and well and coming forth out of that grave. Help us to believe it and believe it in a great way. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.